And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars, and welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. Today, we're going to be looking at conspiracy science. This is part two of the principles of conspiracy scientists. We're going to be looking at Freemasonry, the Bohemian Grove. We're going to be looking at Obama and his most recent Supreme Court nominee. What are the goals of the Obama administration? What are the true goals of Freemasonry, of the Bohemian Grove, of the Bilderbergers? We've got so much for you today. Oh, we might look at Al Gore, Ron Paul, Glenn Beck, Dick Cheney, Cindy McCain. Yeah, maybe so. How about Lindsey Graham? We might look at him, Senator Lindsey Graham. So much to do today. Let's get right at it. You know, last week we started off with our two-part series on the principles of conspiracy science. And I told you that this week we would look at seven methods and techniques. How you can be an outstanding conspiracy scientist. Now, I know you may already be a good one. You've researched these things and you have a lot of knowledge you've acquired over the years. Certainly, by listening to this program, you know a lot more than most people out there, and probably you've studied a lot more than just listening to this program. But maybe there's a technique or a method that you haven't thought of. Maybe I can help you a little bit with some information, some facts. I hope to. Because we're all working together as warriors in this battle against evil on this planet. And that's what God has put you here for, my friends. There is a plan for your life. And part of it is you don't just sit around and watch football games or basketball. You don't just picnic. You don't just work all day at your jobs. And all those things are fine. Take your kid to T-ball or whatever. Or your daughter to cheerleading clinic, or I don't know. But God wants you to do a lot of things that are serious. Serious business, life-saving things, could save your family and others. And you need to know the methods or techniques. Now I want to give you seven. The first is detective work. That sounds pretty simple, doesn't it? To be a conspiracy scientist, and that's what we all are, my friends, conspiracy researchers, scientists. The world wants to call you a theorist. You're not a conspiracy theorist. We don't care about theory. It's fun, as I said last week, to delve a little bit into to theories and speculation. But basically, you want to ground whatever you know and tell others in facts. And that means you got to get into the scientific methods and techniques. The first is just good old detective work. Guess back in the old days, you used to call that be a gumshoe. In other words, hit the pavement, find out stuff, discover things for yourself. It's a never-ending search for clues that can break the case. Forensic science, in a way. How do you do that? For example, if you wanted to find out, to discover, what are the goals of the Masonic Lodge of Freemasonry, how would you do it? Well, there are many ways. Articles and official publications. For example, I have a number of articles and quotes from the official establishment, the hierarchy of the Scottish Rite, the largest Masonic group in the world, and my new book, Conspiracy World. So you may want to start with my book, Conspiracy World, because you're going to find a lot about Freemasons in this book. In fact, on page 157 of my book, Conspiracy World, I quote from the official journal of Freemasonry. It's a publication that comes out periodically, and it used to be called The New Age. Sort of gives you an idea, doesn't it? The New Age, like in the New Age movement. Well, it got to be where people knew the New Age was an occult thing, and the Masons decided they would change the title of their publication from The New Age to The Scottish Rite Journal, which it is today. But in any case, back then in 1950, and this is the article I quote, September 1950, in the official publication of International Freemasonry, there's an article by a Masonic scholar, C. William Smith. It tells you a little bit about the goals of Freemasonry. So if you want to find out about Freemasonry, you know, they always say, oh, those conspiracy theorists, they don't know anything about Freemasons. You know, when I go on radio programs to talk about Freemasonry, I always get a Mason or two call in. Mr. Mars, what do you know about Freemasons? Have you ever been a member of the Lodge? No. But I don't have to be a murderer to know. I don't have to be on a death row in a state prison to know that murder is evil. You know, you don't have to be a member of the penitentiary, the official corps of prisoners. You don't need to wear prison orange to know that people commit crimes. But in fact, I always ask these people, I come back at them and I say, what degree of Mason are you? They say, well, I'm a third degree. Sometimes they'll say, I'm a 32nd degree. I've had a few that say, well, I'm a 33rd degree Mason. I say, well, who is the head guy in Washington, D.C. at the House of the Temple? Well, that would be the Sovereign Grand Commander. Oh, good. Well, let me quote him to you. He says that Freemasonry is, and then I quote, their own Sovereign Grand Commander, their supreme leader, from some book or article that he wrote. And, you know, then they're shocked. They're mute. If I can see them, they're probably slinking away in cowardice. They know they've been caught. Because in their own textbooks and their own guides, their own leadership. Of course, every once in a while, a Mason will try to be very clever. He'll say, well, really, no one really speaks for Freemasonry. That was just the opinion of the Sovereign Grand Commander. Well, you know, that's like saying, well, I don't follow the words of Jesus Christ. That was just his opinions in the Bible. Friends, if you can't trust your own leaders, who can you trust? I trust when Jesus said something, he meant it. And I trust when Mr. C. Fred Kleinnecht or Mr. C. William Smith says something in their own official publications that every Mason is invited to read and study. I expect they have something of importance to tell fellow Masons. Now, if they don't, then we'll just use this publication here as toilet paper. Now, let's see what Mr. Smith had to say in the New Age publication of Scottish Rite Masonry. He said God has a plan. Now, that's the Masonic God. And his plan is dedicated to the unification of all races, religions, and creeds. This plan is dedicated to the new order of things. It is to make all things new, a new nation, a new race, a new civilization, and a new religion. Wow. Are you a patriotic American? If you are, maybe you're pleased with the Constitution. You just want people to get back to it. Maybe you love what our founding fathers gave us and you want to restore America back to those principles. Well, you find out in the Mason's own publication here, when you ask yourself the question, what are the goals of the Masonic Lodge? Mr. Smith is telling you what the goals are. It's a new nation, not America, a new nation, even a new civilization. Are you satisfied of being a Christian, of having the Holy Bible as your guide for daily living, of having Jesus Christ to rule over you as Lord and King? Then you will not be pleased to know that the Masons are in favor of a new religion. In fact, they say this is a religion that, and I'm going to read from Mr. Smith's article, that is called the religion of the great light. Of course, Lucifer has always been called the father of light. Wow. They go on to say in this publication that their great God, our king, their great God, our king, now remember that's Lucifer, has chosen the great American public schools to pave the way for the new race, the new religion, and the new civilization that is taking place in America. Folks, this was 1950. What has taken place in the last 60 years, the six decades? We've been moving fast toward, just as Mr. Smith wrote in this New Age magazine, a new race. They're mixing all the races together. They won't allow you to be white or even black anymore. You got to be joined together unless you're Jew, and then you're supposed to stay separate, the Zionists say. They want a new religion. They're jettisoning, they're pitching Christianity into the abyss, into the septic tank. They want a new world order, so they want a new civilization. And it's the public schools that have been paving the way for this. You know it, I know it, and the Masons knew it 60 years ago. Who do they really work for? Who is their God? Well, you know, I determined to find out who the Masonic God was. This was detective work on my part. The Masons won't just up and tell you. And you cannot ask a non-Mason, but they do have their own official books and textbooks and guides. I found one published by their Supreme Mother Council, House of the Temple, Washington, D.C., written by 33rd degree Mason, Rex Hutchins. It's called A Bridge to Light. You see, they worship the God of Light, so there's a bridge that will take you to light. And I found on page 158 who their God is. They say the Holy Spirit, their Holy Spirit, is the serpent. The serpent. You say, well, that's incredible. Yeah, it is. So now when Masons want to debate me, they don't want to debate Tex Mars. Because if I get on the radio and I say, you worship the serpent, Lucifer. Oh, no, 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 no. Who told you that silly thing? Well, it's published in your own guidebook. Written by a 33rd degree Mason, but published by your Supreme Mother Council, 33rd degree. Oh, goodbye. And they'll hang up real quick. And by the way, in page 159 of my book, Conspiracy World, there's a picture of the inner sanctum, the sanctuary of the house of the temple. It's not like any church you've ever been to or I've been to. I've been to this place. I've seen, I've walked around outside. I see it's built in the form of a great tomb or mausoleum. It's in the middle of Washington, D.C., exactly 13 blocks from the White House. And you walk inside, and in the sanctuary, there's a great black polished granite altar where the initiates of the Masonic order kneel. And there are three great lights that stand like pole lamps or fixtures because they worship a trinity. A trinity. Oh, yes. But not the trinity that you and I worship. We worship three, Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, God. And the Bible says these three are one. Well, you know, they believe they're three or one too. And that one is Lucifer or Satan. How do I know this? Because behind their altar, emblazoned on the wall, up above their altar, up above their pews, there are great murals painted and actually carved in stone of phoenix serpents. Their God, the image of their God, is on the very walls behind their altar. Now, unfortunately, I find that there are many religious leaders tied in with the goals of the Masonic Lodge. There are Episcopals and Presbyterians and non-denominational and Jews for sure. There are Southern Baptists and Independent Baptists. On page 160 of my book, Conspiracy World, you'll see the cover of the Scottish Rite, February 1993 edition. And it's interesting. This was a special issue on the subject of Freemasonry and religion. And on the cover are two officials of the Southern Baptist Convention. And one of them is Dr. Herbert Reynolds, president of Baylor University, a Baptist university. It says in the Scottish Rite Journal here, February 1993, that Dr. Reynolds is a 33rd degree Mason. And inside there's an article by a man named William Hinton, a former Grand Commander of Freemasonry. He has an article in this edition entitled Freemasonry, Politics, and Religion. So you'll want to know, if you want to know what the goals of Freemasonry are, you need to know what is their religion. What religion do they honor? You find they honor any and all religions. But the name of Jesus cannot be mentioned in a Masonic lodge. Like, what? Isn't that interesting? But let me tell you what Mr. Hinton, a former Grand Commander of Freemasonry, has to say in this article. He says, and I quote him, this is on page 161 now from my book, Conspiracy World. In regard to religion, one should know that upon the worldwide altars of Masonic lodges, in other words, around the world, Masonic lodges, because, friends, they can be found in Iraq, Masonic Lodge. You can visit with your brothers, if you're a Mason, in Baghdad, in Tehran, Iran, in Jerusalem. You can visit the Grand Lodge of Jerusalem. You can visit the Grand Orient Lodge of Paris, France, and on and on. In regard to religion, one should know that upon the worldwide altars of Masonic lodges, writes Mr. Hinton, may be found the holy writings of at least five major world religions: Judaism, Christianity, Islam, Buddhism, and Confucianism. Now, friends, you meet pastors out there and ministers, and they say, I'm a Mason. It's a Christian organization. Really? It has Christian goals? And the idiot that thinks he can deceive you will say, oh, yes, it's got Christian goals. Oh, yes, we're a Christian group. Well, what about your former Grand Commander of Freemasonry, Mr. William Hinton, who in your own official publication, February 1993 of the Scottish Rite Journal, says upon your altars, and you have altars, you are a religion, may be found the holy writings of at least five major world religions: Judaism, Christianity, Islam, Buddhism, and Confucianism. Isn't it true that in Buddhism they say there is no God, no personal God, that Jesus was not Christ? Isn't it true that in Judaism it says that Jesus was a blasphemer deserving of hell? That's what it says in the holy book of the Jews, the Talmud. Doesn't it say in the holy Quran, the whole holy book of Islam, that Christians lie when they say that Jesus died on the cross and was resurrected and is the Son of God? Isn't it true that they say Allah had no son? They reject Christ? You, pastor, you know these things. You are a liar. And you, as a conspiracy scientist, not a theorist, you're not surmising, you're not speculating, you're not theorizing, you're not guessing. You're saying, I have the evidence. I'm a detective. I've done my work. I know what you are. Now, let's go on a little bit more. A second way, a second method or technique used by we, you and me, as conspiracy scientists, is to look at symbols. Yeah, there's all kinds of symbols all around us, in cartoons, in movies, pictures in books, online, in magazines, symbols. You know, I wrote a whole book called Codex Magica about the symbols, the magical symbols, handshakes, signs of Freemasonry. You know, corporations even use them. Gives you a clue to who they are. You will see Stalin, Napoleon, Lenin, who were all Freemasons and members of the Illuminati, giving certain handshakes, hand signs. You'll find Sarah Palin giving a certain hand sign. That's right, Sarah Palin on the back cover of her new book, her autobiography. What was it? I think called Rogue or something like that. Going Rogue, yeah. Very interesting hand sign. Get her book. Don't buy it. Go to a bookstore and get the book and look on the back cover. Look very carefully at the hand sign that Sarah Palin is giving. You know, you can even watch TV shows. I remember seeing Dr. Spock on, was it Star Trek? Oh, yeah. He gave the sign of his Vulcan race. It turns out to be the Shin sign of Judaism. Ah, yeah. Very interesting. Didn't come from outer space, dear friends. Although it did come from down deep under the earth in the pit of hell. So, symbols are important. Now, there's a third method or technique, and it's simply human relations. You can use human relations principles in your investigation as a conspiracy scientist. Let me explain this to you. Human relations. It really just comes down to the fact that, yes, it's true, birds of a feather flock together. They communicate. They have social contact. They have connections, power connections. Bohemian Grove, they all meet. 50 miles outside of San Francisco in the Redwood Forest, they do dirty, filthy things, and they plot against you and me, the Bohemian Grovesters. They meet in the secret confines of the Council on Foreign Relations in New York and Washington, D.C., and they conspire against us. They meet in Davos, Switzerland, once each year at the World Economic Forum, and no doubt behind closed doors there, and conspire against us. They meet inside their Masonic lodges and give their little secret hand signs and conspire against us. Because they share common goals and they ascribe to similar philosophies. They are birds of a feather. That's why John McCain is not only a Zionist wacko, but he's also a member of the Council on Foreign Relations. And if he's a member of the Council on Foreign Relations, he supports the North American Union because the CFR does. He supports amnesty for illegal aliens because the CFR does. If you want to find out about the Bilderbergers, find out what Rick Perry's doing. Because Rick Perry, the governor of Texas, is a member of the Bilderbergers. That's why he's helping build the huge Trans-American Corridor through Texas from Mexico that's going to go all the way up to Canada. Rick Perry claims to be a patriot. What a stupid deceit. Globalist. Bilderberger. Birds of a feather flock together. Then you find that a guy like Bill Clinton can be a member of the CFR, Trilateral Commission, and he can be a Mason. And it goes on and on. And of course, he'll have the same doctrines and beliefs that they do. The same goals. If you're a member of the CFR, you're a Zionist. And as a Zionist, you're a neocon warmonger. You want the United States to be active, to kill all of its young men and women in foreign wars. Fought for Israel. Fought for global trade. Fought for oil corporations and so on. Wall Street owns Washington. And Washington, D.C. is Wall Street. So you're going to be supporting the banking cartel. Obama is bought and paid for by the bankers. But so was Bill Clinton. But so was George W. Bush. And on and on. They're pals. Rothschild, through his agent, George Soros, the Hungarian Jew, gave millions of dollars to the Obama presidential campaign. But wait, he also gave probably an equivalent amount to John McCain for the Republican side of the House. They're all of the same flock. Have you ever noticed, you know, when winter's coming, you see the birds here in Texas, we see them heading down to South America. It's always amazed me. They'll follow one bird. And I think, how did he get to be the boss? How did that one bird get? They all follow him. And it's amazing. They'll go this way and that way. Pretty soon he'll want to take a rest and they land in these trees. And there's sometimes thousands of blackbirds. They'll land in an area of trees. And the trees are just full of all of their chattering and goodness, just like black specks. Then suddenly, like a signal is given, they take off. And there are thousands in the sky heading south. Birds of a feather flock together. That's why I was not surprised when we find out that Elena Kagan, the Solicitor General, although she's the top lawyer in the White House, takes the case of the White House, meaning she fights against the people in briefs before the Supreme Court on behalf of Obama. She's anti-Constitution, I believe, anti-American people, but pro-Obama White House. That's what she does as Solicitor General. Now, she came from Harvard University, where she's dean of the law school. But let's talk about her associations. Let's talk about the flocks that she flew around with. How did she become the nominee of our President Obama to go on the Supreme Court? Now, remember, I told you last week, there are 9 Supreme Court justices. And when she takes her place there in her black robe as one of the nine. It will mean that there will be three Jews on the court and six Catholics and no, repeat, no Protestants. But there are more Protestants in America than either Jews or Catholics. In fact, more than Jews and Catholics put together. How could it be that there are over twice as many Protestants, but we have no Supreme Court judge, not even one, to represent us? Well, tells you who the power holders are in America, doesn't it? Now, how did Elena Kagan get to where she's at? Seems that she came from Chicago. Seems that she taught at the University of Chicago as a young professor. And that's where Obama was, and Michelle Obama. Seems that is where she met Obama, there in Chicago, where the mafia is, the Jewish mafia. It seems, according to the Global News Service of the Jewish People, that's the JTA, go online, jta.org is their online address, you find out something interesting. They did a story on Elena Kagan. And it was written by a reporter named Ron Compius, Jewish, of course. Dateline, Washington, D.C. This Jewish news agency has this article entitled, Elena Kagan, Nod Would Put Third Jew on Supreme Court. Now, it says here that Kagan's Jewishness is quite interesting. It says that Kagan came out of Chicago, where she got to know Obama, and I'm reading from this Jewish news agency press release, where she got to know Obama through her association with Abner Mikva, the Chicago area former federal judge, who mentored both of them as young lawyers making their way in Chicago. Ah, yes. Once again, the Jewish press, not Fox News, not CBS, not the Los Angeles Times or the Washington Post, not Bill O'Reilly or Greta Sestrin or, you know, Katie Couric. No! Not Mr. Oberman of MSNBC. They don't tell us the truth about Elena Kagan, but the Jews tell the Jews, and I have to go find it from Jewish sources. So I can tell you, which is okay, because I'm a conspiracy scientist. And I enjoy being a detective. I enjoy finding out who these birds are flocking with. These evil blackbirds. Yeah, I do. Now listen, it says here that she got to know Obama through her association with Abner Mikva. He was the mentor for both of them in Chicago. Well, then who is Abner Mikva? Get my video, Rothschild, show us. You'll find out that Abner Mikva was former federal judge, former congressman, a billionaire. He was the White House counsel, the top lawyer in the Bill Clinton White House. He got Bill Clinton out of a jam during the Monica Lewinsky impeachment. Oh, he's crafty. And as young attorneys, he took Miss Kagan, this Jewish woman, and this half-black, half-white man, and mentored them, taught them, raised them up, gave them the bucks, gave them the advice, made them what they are today. When we come back on the other half, we're going to talk more about how Miss Kagan found her way to the Supreme Court, how Masons worship the God of nature, and how Al Gore has been telling people for some years now that the great goddess is fondling us. What could that be? We'll talk about it when we return. You're listening to Tex Mars here on Power of Prophecy. Stay with us. We've got a lot more to come. Well, hello again, friends. Tex Mars here. You know, in today's program, we're talking about my new book, Conspiracy World. The subtitle is very, shall we say, illuminating. It's entitled, A Truth Teller's Compendium of Eye-Opening Revelations and Forbidden Knowledge. 137 different topics in this huge book. We want you to have a copy. For $25, at $5 shipping and handling, you can have a copy of this. And by the way, you can also order our 90-minute long DVD, Rothschild's Choice, Barack Obama and the Hidden Cabal Behind the Plot to Murder America. That's where we talk about Abner Mikva, the Jewish lawyer from Chicago, and how he mentored Bill Clinton. But there are many other billionaire Jews who did so as well, including Rothschild himself, providing the money for Mr. Obama. And now they will have yet another Supreme Court justice to do whatever the communist and the Zionist desire in opposing the Constitution of the United States. Now, I want you to have this book. You must have this book, packed with information about everything from Freemasonry to the atomic bomb to the Bohemian Grove. Oh my, I could, the Order of Skull and Bones, Barack Obama, devil companies with devil logos, Satan's El Diablo hand sign. Hey, have you read about the massive golden pyramid for Elvis? How about what President John Quincy Adams, a fabulous Christian man, our sixth United States president, did you know that he said Freemasonry is Luciferian? Did he know what he was talking about? Is it true that the U.S. space program is run by the Masons? Is it a fact that the moonshot, Apollo, never really happened? Could that really be true? What about the bizarre deaths of the Waco Branch Davidians? What really happened on 9/11? How about Oklahoma City? Things just don't add up, friends. How about the surviving mother of the two little babies who were killed at the federal building, the Murrah Federal Building in Oklahoma City? And she found some interesting facts that maybe it was a government job, an inside job. But then the government agents came to see her and told her to shut up or else. You'll read about that. You'll read about old Mikhail Gorbachev. He's still around. He's heading an interesting environmental organization. You'll read about Trinity Broadcasting Network's Christian evangelist Paul Crouch paying his homosexual lover $425,000 hush money. You'll find out about churches and pastors gone wild. How Billy Graham and Al Gore teamed up to save the earth. The World Cup conspiracy. Satanism, sex crimes, consequences. Mind control and the processing of humanity. Hey, what do they do in those Mormon temples? Are they Mormon temples of the dead? Does the Illuminati secretly fund Christian heresy? Concentration camps in America? Do they really exist? Are they going to take away your money? Your food? What about the World Food Authority of the United Nations? What powers does it have? All this and much more in my book, Conspiracy World. $25, add $5 shipping and handling. We'll get it right in the mail to you. Now order it by calling us toll-free 1-800-234-9673. During the work week now and during the work day, that's 8 to 5:30 Central Time, Monday through Friday. Or you can go online at powerofprophecy.com, powerofprophecy.com, or simply textmars.com and order the book. In fact, we have all of our books, all our videos online. You can order them. And many free articles and free videos, in fact, some of them online at powerofprophecy.com. Or you can write to us, ask for Conspiracy World, send $25 plus $5 shipping and handling, a total of $30 postpaid, ask for Conspiracy World, and send your request to Power of Prophecy, 1708 Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. That's in the United States of America, of course, and we'll get it right out to you. We'll give you a free subscription or extend your subscription to our monthly newsletter, Power of Prophecy. This month's issue, by the way, is entitled Inventors of Evil Things. I wonder who that could be. Inventors of Evil Things. Okay, let's return to our regular program. We're talking about conspiracy science, the principles of conspiracy science, we've been looking over the seven methods and techniques that any good conspiracy scientist like you or me can use to discover the truth about certain situations that the mass media and the conspirators would like to keep hidden. Well, we were talking about the fact that these birds, black birds of a feather, seem to flock together, and how Elena Kagan, who's been nominated to be the third Jew sitting on the Supreme Court, appointed by Obama, but believe me, the Republicans are going to back her, the majority of them will, or at least enough to win her the nomination, to be approved by, you know, a majority of the Senate. Both Kagan and Obama were mentored by the same man, this Abner Mikva. Now, it says here in this news release of the Global News Service of the Jewish People, JTA, and you see it online, by the way, May 10th, 2010, talking about Elena Kagan being appointed to the Supreme Court, says that Mikva, her mentor, Obama's mentor, became one of, this is a quote, became one of Obama's most prominent backers as the president's political career was launched in the mid-1990s. The former judge often would make Obama's case to the Jewish community. Very interesting. By the way, it goes on to say that Jewish groups are very happy at the prospect of Ms. Kagan going on the court. Well, let's look at some of the other things in this technique or method, this human relations principle of investigating conspiracies. When we look at their similar doctrines or belief systems, you know, globalism and so forth, one of them is that they all worship a god of nature, or what has been called nature's god. This is a sexual and homosexual god. It was called Osiris by the Egyptians, Baphomet by the ancient Knights Templar, androgynous male and female god. No wonder there's so many bisexuals among the elite. Bill Clinton was a bisexual. Reportedly, Barack Obama was a bisexual. John Edwards a bisexual. Man, they're everywhere. Clinton, of course, look at all the kinky sex he did. Now, Al Gore, being a worshiper of this god of nature, actually wrote about it in a book, Earth in the Balance, a best-selling book. Now, Gore likes to claim he's a Southern Baptist, and you have to do a lot of hee-hawing when you hear that. Bill Clinton said, yeah, I'm a Southern Baptist, too. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. But in Al Gore's book, Earth in the Balance, he says what we need is to worship the god of nature. He says we need to worship the ancient goddess. And what is this ancient goddess doing? He says she is constantly, and friends, I didn't make this up. This is actual words in his book. She, the goddess, the ancient goddess, fondles her creation, that's us, in her lap. Fondles her creation in her lap. Oh my goodness. He says we need to bring into our modern day religions like Christianity and so forth the worship of the ancient pagan goddess. It's legitimate for today. And she's the goddess of nature. And that's why he believes we've got to protect our Mother Earth. Now, Francois Mitterrand, who, like Gore, was a Freemason, would go, he was the president of France, and he would go up to a sacred mountain in the Pyrenees each year on an annual pilgrimage and sit there lotus-legged and beat drums to conjure up the spirits of the earth. Can you imagine the president of France doing that? Well, Al Gore's talking about in the book, he wanted to be president. He won more votes, won more of the popular vote than George Bush, yet he had a book out saying that the goddess fondles us in her lap and we should worship her. Friends, this guy, talk about a nut job. And then this global warming thing. There's Glenn Beck, who I don't know so many patriots say, he's a wonderful man, he's a wonderful man. Well, he has something for you to say to you. I want to quote Glenn Beck to you. If you Do not believe in global warming, says Glenn Beck. You are a jerk. That's J-E-R-K. If you don't believe in global warming, you're a jerk. I didn't say that. Now, that was Glenn Beck. You say, I've never heard of that before. Yeah, well, every once in a while, he'll doubt global warming. He'll talk about it being a hoax. Next thing you read is he has some interview in which he says, if you don't believe in global warming, like I do, you're a jerk. I thought it was really interesting. Talk about this androgynous god, both male and female that they worship, this bisexual deity, and they all practice bisexuality. Glenn Beck of Fox News interviewed a woman named Deborah Medina. She was sort of a Tea Party candidate for governor. She was running against Rick Perry, the Bilderberger. That's Glenn Beck's man. Yeah, he's a big Rick Perry fan. And he tried to embarrass Deborah Medina, asking her about 9/11. You don't believe in 9/11 conspiracy, do you? Ooh, you must be a nut. Ooh. And he really did hurt Deborah Medina's candidacy because she wasn't ready for the question. I don't know why she wasn't, but she wasn't. And she tried to tap dance her way out of it, and it didn't work because Beck wanted to destroy her, and it was a plot of his and Rick Perry's. In fact, listen to me very carefully. Right after Glenn Beck on Fox News had finished interviewing Deborah Medina and she left the stage, he turned to the audience and he said, Rick Perry, if you're out there, I'm French kissing you right now. Glenn Beck, speaking to the camera and millions of Americans listening, said, Rick Perry, if you're out there watching, I am French kissing. Yes, when you put your tongue in their mouths. I'm French kissing you right now. Now listen, dear friend. Tex Mars is approaching 66 years of age. I have never told a man, Jack or Bill or Larry or Tom or Bob, I'm French kissing you right now. I would never go on international TV and turn to the cameras and tell a man, I'm French kissing you right now. I think he was so pleased that he had done a butcher job, a hatchet job on Miss Medina, who at that time was actually moving up in the polls. It looked like she could actually become governor and unseat Rick Perry, the Bilderberger. They didn't want that. She was a constitutionalist, a Tea Party person. They hate that. What are they going to do? Well, Glenn Beck ambushed her. And when he finished with a smile, he says, Rick Perry, ha ha ha, I'm French kissing you right now. Well, he didn't do the I did that. But he may as well have. That's why Dick Cheney, a 33rd degree Mason, yes, birds of a feather, black birds flock together, has a pro-homosexual agenda he has always pushed. His daughter, Dick Cheney's daughter, Megan, is a lesbian. His wife, Liz Cheney, wrote a lesbian novel. I've read parts of it just because I wanted to see if it was really true. I did my homework.
Oh, no, Mr. Moore's. I can't believe that the vice president's wife would write a steamy, sex-filled lesbian novel that depicts women having sex together in the novel. A vice president's wife? How dare you say such thing? Have you ever read that novel?
I'm sorry to say I'd read parts of it, just several pages, and it was so smutty and terrible. I said, I don't want any more of this, but I know it exists. I had it in my hands. I read it. A little bit of it. Whew. But Dick Cheney's White House chief of staff, the Jew, Scooter Libby, he wrote a novel too. I don't know what these people are doing writing novels. He wrote a novel too, but it was about bestiality, about sexually torturing, believe it or not, a bear, B-E-A-R. A novel about sexually torturing a bear. Oh, my God. These people are so disgustingly repulsive and evil. Karl Rove, of course, the brain, he was called, for George W. Bush, was homo as you know what. But so was George W. Bush. That's why the homosexual guy visited the White House in the early hours of the morning and late hours of the night hundreds of times. By the way, John McCain, I'm reading USA Today. Picture of Cindy McCain. Remember Cindy McCain, the wife of John McCain? The pretty blonde. She's the beer heiress. You know, she made millions. Her father, dad gave her millions of dollars. He was a beer distributor. He worked for the mob, for the mafia. Oh, yeah. Well, Cindy McCain, it says, this is the headline, Cindy McCain poses for gay marriage ad. It says, Cindy McCain, this is Associated Press, the wife of 2008 Republican presidential nominee John McCain and their daughter Megan have posed for photos endorsing pro-gay marriage. Cindy McCain and her daughter. Woo! Of course, John McCain's friend, his pal, you know, the one he went over during the presidential campaign to Iraq with, I wonder if they slept in the same hotel room. His name's Senator Lindsey Graham. Now it has come out that Senator Lindsey Graham is queer as a $3 bill. He's been outed.
No wonder he talks like this. Ooh. Hold my hand, John. You're a big boy.
Yeah, uh-huh. Okay, fourth method. We got to go fast here, folks. We've got so much. A fourth method or technique of the conspiracy scientist is something I call digging in the walls. Digging in the walls. Boy, read Ezekiel 8. There is a great picture of digging in the walls. You know, God had a message for Ezekiel, but he didn't make it easy on him. He didn't just send him a vision. He didn't say, write this down. He said, go to the temple and dig in the walls. He made him work for it. You know, God, he knows what to do, doesn't he? Yeah. You appreciate something you work for a lot more. He dug in the walls and he saw things that no one else could see. Friends, you dig in the walls and God will give you to see things that no one else can see. Dig in the walls. And by the way, don't believe the official press. When you read a biography of a politician or a famous celebrity, discount it. It's mostly lies. It's made up junk. When you read books on history, about half of it is silliness, not true. It's hard work to get real history. You know, a woman named Catherine Millard made a great discovery, a sad discovery. She visited the Library of Congress and she did months and months of painstaking research. She found that many of the books from the days of our founding fathers were missing, especially books having to do with the roots and the origins of Christianity, the roots of our nation as a Christian nation. Most of the books were gone. They wouldn't tell her where they went to. They were just missing. Turns out they were there on the shelves, but they lied to her and told her the books don't exist. You try to research the Christian roots of the nation, Catherine Millard found, and they hid the books from people. So I tell you what I do. I don't just go to the Library of Congress. I go to alternate sources, Boston, New York, Philadelphia, Austin. I go online. I look up rare books. We order rare books. People send me all kinds of books. Strange books. Books that you can't find anywhere else. Oh, yeah. You got to dig in the walls to find facts. You know, I've discovered there was an Illuminati weaving its conspiracies. Even during the days of George Washington, John Adams, Benjamin Franklin, here in the United States. I found that some of our founding fathers were skunks, but not all. Some were Christians. Some were evil Masons. You got to figure out who's who. There are biographies of Hitler, for example, the great biography by the Englishman David Irving that tell the truth. And there are many written by Jews who lie. They lie. If you want to know about the truth about Hitler, I'm not saying he's a good man. I'd at least like to know the truth about him or Stalin. Or Churchill, or Lenin. Did you know that the people of Russia were lied to They did not know that Lenin and Trotsky, their two great leaders of communism, were Jews. But after communism fell in the Soviet Union in the 80s, the Lenin Museum in Red Square in Moscow came out and admitted that Vladimir Lenin was a Jew. Made a big difference. I have found when I read official biographies, they never discuss or mention the membership and activities of the Masonic Lodge. Now, I go to Masonic Lodge books and articles, and they'll say, George Washington was a great Freemason. He loved Freemason. He was a master Mason, etc. Go to all his biographies, and you can't find any references to that. Evidently, there has been a conspiracy all these years to hide who was a Mason and who wasn't. By the way, I've also found out that many Jewish organizations, such as the Jewish ADL, are very active in censoring books at libraries. They go to librarians and say, this book or that book, you shouldn't have here. I know there are many Jewish organizations, I don't know about the ADL, many Jewish organizations go to libraries and say, don't carry the books of Tex Morris. He's a noted anti-Semitic man. Don't carry his books. Many Christian leaders go to bookstores, Christian bookstores, and say, don't sell the books of Tex Morris. They think I'm a mean man. Yeah, well, okay. So I am. I'm a conspiracy scientist. I love the truth. Now, a fifth method of being a conspiracy scientist, how to be a good one, is to use architecture and archaeology. When you do, for example, I've written an entire book about this. Fabulous book. Please get it. Mysterious Monuments. You'll find out about all the secret designs, secret architecture throughout the world. You'll find that even in Washington, D.C., the architecture is of the ancient Greeks and Roman religions. Masons helped to formulate all of this architecture. Even in all of our state capitals, most of the state capitol buildings are built as Greco-Roman temples. That's true of the Vatican in Rome. You'll find there the great Egyptian obelisk, the monument from ancient Egypt that is a sign of worship of the Egyptian sun god Osiris, right there in St. Peter's Square in Rome. You'll find a great statue of the great ancient Greek god Vulcan, that's the Antichrist to us, standing on a hill overlooking the city of Birmingham, Alabama. You'll find in Nashville, Tennessee, the Parthenon building, a great Greek temple built to Athena and Zeus. And guess what? There's a 42-foot tall statue of Athena inside the sanctuary. That's in the Bible Belt in Nashville, Tennessee. That's the home of the Southern Baptist Convention. Down the road in Memphis, you'll find a great Egyptian pyramid, the Great American Pyramid, it's called. You'll find that in Texas, there is a Greco-Roman temple that suffices, that was built as the state capitol building. And atop it is the great statue of the goddess of liberty. And she has a star in her hand, the Lone Star. Of course, when you visit Macy department stores, you'll find they also worship there. They honor the Red Star. Find out who that is. Get my book, Codex Magica. Have a whole chapter on the Red Star. The street layouts of Washington, D.C. are laid out like a satanic pentagram. You'll find that in Great Britain, they have idols, statues to Gog and Magog. Amazing. Now, a sixth method or technique of the conspiracy scientist is observation. People watching. Be a people watcher. It pays off sometime. You know, there was recently online a video of George Bush and Bill Clinton in Haiti. Oh, they felt so sorry for the poor people there. And one of the Haitian men on the video was shown reaching out a hand, extending a hand of friendship to George W. Bush. He stands right beside Bill Clinton. They're the ambassadors of goodwill sent to Haiti by the United States. And George Bush doesn't want to shake his hand. You can see his disgust, but he has to. The cameras are rolling. And he shook the man's hand. But after he finished, he looked at his hand as if there was dirt or scum on it. And he reached over, though, and he rubbed his hand off on the shirt, the shoulder and shirt of Bill Clinton. Rubbing off the scum. You find out a lot about a man, don't you? Joe Biden, Vice President of the United States, standing by Barack Obama. This is on video, too. When the Obama medical care plan was approved, and they were celebrating, and they came out to talk about it there in the White House, and all the international cameras were on him. The microphone was still open. I don't know whether Biden knew it or not, but he said a few words, and then he turned around, and he hugged Obama's neck, who was coming up to the microphone himself to speak. And he said, this is a big effing, and he said the bad word, deal. This is a big effing deal. Senator Leahy from New England, on the Senate floor, while cameras were rolling, but before the Senate was really meeting in session, and Dick Cheney had a little teet-a-teet. I've seen the video of that. And Leahy said something to Cheney about House Halliburton, the corporation these days. You see, Cheney gave all these secret no-bid contracts to Halliburton during the Iraq conflict, made Halliburton super rich. Well, of course, Dick Cheney was the CEO of Halliburton before he came to the White House, this oil drilling firm, oil supply firm. He said, how's Halliburton, Mr. Vice President? Made Cheney mad. You know what he said back to Leahy? F-U-C-K-U. F-U. I saw it on camera. Tells you a lot about the character of a man, doesn't it? By the way, I've watched Glenn Beck. I've watched Bill O'Reilly. They both say they're for the little man, but both of them are in favor of a national sales tax. In addition to the U.S. income tax, they're in favor of a value-added tax. Doesn't sound like they're for the little man to me. Observe these people. And finally, the seventh method or technique of the conspiracy scientist. Pay attention to detail. Pay attention to the minutia. When you read the papers, when you watch TV, when you read magazines, read books, pay attention to small details. I found that a noted female politician from Austin reading the newspaper, I found that periodically on a full moon, she and her girlfriends, her feminist girlfriends, will go out into the hill country, into the oak groves, and howl at the moon. They reported this in the paper, but they didn't know what they were really reporting. But I did. I discovered that what this was were witches. Drawing down the moon, it's called. A ritual. Drawing down the moon goddess. They do it in the oak groves, the witches do. Who was this woman? Her name was Liz Carpenter. She was one of the most powerful female politicians in America. Formerly, she was the press secretary to Lady Bird Johnson and a big friend of Hillary Rodham Clinton. All right, so those are the seven techniques or methods of being a conspiracy scientist. Folks, we can know the truth. We've got to dig in the walls. We've got to observe things. We've got to be good detectives. We've got to go through all of these techniques and methods. And I believe if we do, if we're good like the good Bereans, if we're a kingly person, we can discover the truth. And truth is more powerful than any tank, any jet aircraft, any gun. Truly, truth is more powerful than bullets. You've been listening to Tex Mars. This is Power Prophecy. My prayer, dear friends, is that you'll tune in each week during this same time and discover the power of prophecy.